Well, I want to preach for a little while this morning and trust that the Lord would bless us. I've been burdened, as I was getting ready for this week, I've been burdened with this. Sometimes we get ourselves in such a mess and we've made such disappointing choices and gotten ourselves in such sin that we feel as though God can no longer use us. And my friend, that's simply not true. The Lord is rich and able to use you and me even when we make unwise decisions, we make wrong decisions, we make sinful decisions. He wants to clean us, the Bible says, and we confess our sins. He's faithful and just. Forgive us. And so I trust the Lord will bless us this morning. But I want you to look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 26 and trust that this message is a blessing to you. We're looking at Matthew chapter 26. We'll start at verse number 69 as you find your place there. In Matthew 26, I did hear this story, though, about a man that was being tailgated by this lady, and she was very, very much in a hurry. She was just really stressed out, in a hurry. She was on the phone. She was doing her makeup, which is always a bad idea while you're driving, but she was doing that, and this guy in front of her was coming to the intersection, and the light was turning yellow, and she thought there was plenty of room for him and her so that he should have went on, so she was right behind him. But he did the safe thing. He stopped because he could. So he stopped, and then she had to just slam on brakes, and her makeup thing went somewhere, and her phone went down. She was even more mad. She was furious, as a matter of fact, and she was honking her horn, saying things that she shouldn't have said and making gestures to him that she certainly shouldn't have made gestures to him. And she was just in the middle of all that rant, and there was a knock on the side of her window. A police officer was standing right there, and so he just went and knocked on her window, and she rolled down and said, "Ma'am, you had to get out of there." And so he ordered to get out of the car. She exited the car. He took her, put handcuffs on her, put her in the back of her police cruiser, and hauled her off. And so he got down there to the police station, put her in a cell, and he came back about 2 hours later, and he got the lady, opened up the door, he said, "Ma'am, come on this way with me." Says, "I want to know, I'm sorry," as he escorted her back to where they had all the personal effects and things and gave her all the stuff back and said, "I'm sorry about that. I'm very, very sorry for the mistake, you see, but I came up on your car while you were blowing your horn, giving obscene gestures, and you were cussing and just all of that." And he said, "I noticed that you had on the back of your car a bumper sticker said, 'What would Jesus do?' I noticed around your license plate it said, 'Choose life.' And there was a 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker on the other side. And there was a little chrome-plated fish on the back of your car. With all of those, I just assumed you stole it." So, it was her fault after all. Well, we're looking at Matthew chapter 26 and this passage that nobody likes to read, or maybe everybody likes to read because it gives us hope. We're going to read that passage where Peter finds himself denying the Lord. In Matthew 26, let me find my place, we see in verse 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee.' Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And he went out and he wept bitterly." You can turn in just a little bit. We'll go to Acts chapter 2. We'll get there in just a few moments, but you can leave your place in Matthew, and we'll go to Acts and a different message because we're not really taking a passage and just exploding it out, but really I want to preach for a little while about a failed apostle, because truly he did fail. Now, that's one big way of saying it. Now, you know, you can look on YouTube for videos of a compilation of fails, meaning somebody tried something and they were trying a trick with a bicycle or a skateboard and they failed. You know, you can see a fail. Well, Peter certainly spiritually had a fail. And if you think that's something, the Bible says in Proverbs that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I read again that Nathaniel Hawthorne was a clerk in a government customs office in New York, and he was fired for inefficiency. And because he was depressed about that, his wife put her arm around him and said, "That's all right. You can do what you've always wanted to do. You can write." He wrote different pieces, but The Scarlet Letter, his most famous. So sometimes you see the things that we do don't turn out to be like we thought they would. But Peter, he goes out, and the Bible says he wept bitterly. And we find him that he's just distraught because, can you imagine the horror that filled his mind, not the first time or the second or the third time, but after the third time, I should say, he wept. Something happened between then and Acts chapter 2. We know there's some things in the Scriptures that doesn't say completely whatever happened, but we find that he is a new man come Acts chapter 2. I read a story about Ted Gazel, and Ted Gazel was somebody I didn't even know his name until I heard it by what he goes by or used to before he died. He took a book to 27 different publishers before finally Vanguard Press would pick up his first book, and that was, "And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street." We all know him by a different name. Dr. Seuss wrote some millions and millions of books have been published by him. But what he thought was a failure because he took it to a publisher and publisher turned out to be something great. Well, I'm not going to tell you this morning that you can just be something if you really put your mind to it, although that's a good character trait to just keep on and keep on and keep on. But we see something much deeper today in the Scriptures, and we see that Jesus prophesied about Peter that he would deny him, and well, he did. But then something happens after that denial, because I'm looking at folks that you may not have denied Jesus Christ in such a bold fashion as Peter, where you cussed and denied and you swore. But we've all not stood up for Christ like we should have. I was going to have you raise your hand, but I don't have to have you raise your hand, because I think everybody's this way. There have been times in your life when you knew something was on the inside and you were supposed to speak it to the outside, but you kept quiet. Boy, oh boy, we're a wicked bunch because we don't speak up for the Lord. But we find that Peter goes from somebody who didn't even have the courage to express to a young girl that, yeah, I know him. Now, obviously, there was reasons why, because he knew that she would tell others. But he didn't even have courage to tell a young girl, yeah, I know Christ. To just a little while later, he preaches the gospel to thousands of people. And I want to preach about that for just a little while. I see in Acts chapter 2, verse number 14, if you'd find your place there. And I want to give you 3 points to show how the change was made in Peter as he went from that person who wouldn't speak up for the Lord to now boldly proclaims what Christ has done. Verse 14 of 2 Acts. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken my words." Now, this is after the folks are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking, and people from all various different kinds of languages are hearing and they're understanding in their own tongue. It's an amazing thing. And there are people there that mocking, and they say, "These guys must be drunk." And that's where you come in verse number 14. Peter stood up and he stands and he tells them that it's not like you think. You need to hearken unto their words. So first of all, I see this, that he decided to stand up and speak up. So if you found yourself in that spot where you didn't stand for Christ like you thought you should have, and all of us have been there, well, after God works in your heart and you get to that point where you want to move on, something is happening in Peter's spirit. A switch is turned on, if you will. He wouldn't speak up to a young girl, but now he's willing to speak to people who don't want to hear what he has to say at first. He decides to stand up and speak up. When I was getting ready for this message, I read of a boy named Tommy. We don't know him by Tommy, but we know him by his longer name. But Tommy was fidgety in school. Tommy only went to traditional school for about 3 months. Now, we wouldn't do this now because people would be afraid of being sued, but his teacher said, I quote, "too stupid to learn anything." He was eventually homeschooled by his mom. And in talking about one of his life-changing inventions, Thomas Edison, who was Tommy then, Thomas Edison says, "I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 reasons not, or 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb." And so somebody that took what was bad and made it into something good. But I already told you, this isn't, I wouldn't waste your time or waste my time to come and tell you that, hey, you can do it. You know, just peep your head up and keep on. That's not my message today. But my message is today, I felt led of God as I was studying and looking. I felt led of the Lord to come and preach to you today that I don't care what your failures have been in the past. that Christ that we sang about, the amazing grace of God that our International Fellowship did such a wonderful job putting to us, that amazing grace is able to pick you up and take you on to do what God wants you to do. I see that Peter, he stood up and he spoke up. And if you're here today and you've denied the Lord like Peter had, well, if he did it for Peter, he'll do it for you. And see, your faithful, your failures, though, will make you want to stay down. Let me give you this for just a second. If Satan, the wicked one, the evil one, he got you to deny, again, it might not have been such a unique setting like Peter's was, but got you to deny, you didn't stand up for the Lord, you didn't speak up for God. All of us have been there at school, around our fellow employees or whatever, or even just in a restaurant. I've been before when I felt as people were talking bad, and I should have stood up and, or spoke up and said something, but I just kept quiet. But let's say you did that. The reason that you do that is Satan had the victory right there. Well, now you fast forward to a time later when you're feeling bad about that. Let me tell you how Satan's going to have the victory this time. He had it over there by keeping you quiet. He's going to have it over here by keeping you down and keeping you depressed and keeping you upset that you did such a bad thing over there. Because some of you know, you spent time with family, or you spent time with friends, or you spent time with whoever, and the Lord gave you opportunity just to say a word for the Lord. You might not have grabbed your Bible and preaching like I'm preaching. I'm not saying you had the opportunity to preach him a message, but you had an opportunity to get a word in for the Lord. But you didn't. Satan kept you from it. And now what Satan was doing then, back then, was keeping you quiet. Now he's going to keep you down. But my intention this morning is to tell you that Peter decided to stand up and speak up for the Lord, because that's what the people desperately needed, and that's what they need in your life. That's what you need to do. Satan is keeping some of us bound by decisions that we made in the past, by sin in the past, by wrong in the past. But my friend, let me remind you, those are in the past. 1 John 1:9 that I alluded to before, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We move forward for the glory of God. First of all, he decided to stand up, speak up, but same chapter, chapter 2, but Acts 2:32, not only did he stand up and speak up, but when he stood up and speak up, he gave the right message. The Bible says in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. This old cussing sailor wasn't doing right, he stood up, he brushed himself off, and he got back to the work. But when he got back to work, he gave the right message. He said, Jesus is the one. He said, we saw him rise again, wherefore, whereof we are all witnesses. Peter used his mouth for vileness, to cuss and swear and deny that he knew the Lord. And as if somebody that I know said one time, he said, well, I figured I'd ran hard for the devil. When I got right with God, I was going to try to run hard for him. And that's where we need to be. Maybe you as a Christian, you haven't always stood where you're supposed to stand. You haven't always done what God wants you to do. And can I say, not maybe, you have not always done what God wants you to do. Neither have I. But we can not only stand up and speak up, but as we stand and speak, we can give the right message. The message is Christ. As we've been blessed this morning by the International Fellowship, and as we're blessed by other folks that come and go throughout our church and the ministries, I'm reminded again and again, the message that to the world needs to be that Christ is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He decided to stand up, but he decided also to give the right message. I was reading about for a particular purpose, but the Pushkin Museum in Moscow houses a very famous portrait, or not a portrait, but a painting, Red Vineyard at Arles. It was the only painting that was sold during Van Gogh's lifetime of his. It's on display there. Hundreds were sold after he was dead, but that one, as far as they know, was the only one that was sold during his lifetime. There was one in 1990 that was sold for $82.5 million. I think something in today's economy or today's money would be maybe $110,000 or $140,000. It was the portrait of Dr. Gatchett, his doctor of sorts that helped in different ways. But I was telling you this story because of this. He died he had lived a very depressed and troubled life, but died with one painting being sold, not knowing that anybody would ever care about his work. But afterwards, hundreds have been sold for millions of dollars. And I'm thinking of this, as he did have the right message, so to speak, as far as people were interested in it. Maybe the sad life that he lived added to the desire, but for some reason, people greatly wanted it. But he didn't know it. Died a depressed, despondent person. Took his own life, as far as they can tell. But he had what people wanted. He just didn't know it. And I'm thinking about this. Do you know that you and I don't know who needs to hear the message of hope in Jesus Christ from you? You say, oh, Pastor, that's your job. Well, I'm going to try. But you know there's a whole lot of people that I'll never meet, but you will. You say, Pastor, I'm not much of a spokesman. Again, I'm not talking about you get a pulpit and a microphone and you preach the gospel. But I'm saying that we're all supposed to be preachers of the gospel. Because we're proclaiming. That's what preaching means. You're proclaiming the message. Oh, it might be in a little small group. It might be a group of two. It may just be in a small, compact form that you give a word about the Lord. But Peter, he stood up and he spoke up. But he also gave the right message as he spoke up. And my friend, I came to tell you today that there's some of us that maybe have something in your past. You say, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. The Lord wants to take every one of us. As one old preacher said, as long as we have breath, there's still something for us to do. Not only did he give the right message, but then I want you to look down later in the chapter, verse number 41, we see that victory came through. He did stand up and speak up, and he gave the right message as he spoke up, but then victory came breaking through. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter denied Christ, strike one. Denied again, strike two. Denied again, strike three. And our culture would say, you're out. God says, I still want to use him. I don't know of anything better this morning. For a Christian to know that God still wants to pick you and I up and use you. I've got some stories. I won't tell all of them, but let me give you this one. Walt Disney was fired by his newspaper editor one time, long before his success, of course. But this words is what his editor said. He lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Well, he obviously didn't believe his editor. And victory eventually broke through. Everybody in the world almost knows it's the most visited vacation spot in the world, Walt Disney World. But again, I'm not telling you how to be successful in your business. I might not know that. But I am telling you how we can go forward and be successful, victorious in our Christian life. And one of those secrets, if it is a secret, is to not let the failures of our past keep us from going on to do what God wants us to do. My friend, the devil keeps us beat down so much to make us remember what we did and we shouldn't have done, or make us recall what shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And my friend, I'm just telling you, we've got to stand up, have the right message, and speak up for the Lord. If you failed as a dad, get back up and go forward for Him, for God. If you failed as a spouse, you failed as a whatever, my friend, we ought to stand up. And if Peter can do it after his cussing spell and his denying spell and his spell when he said, I don't even know that fella, then if he can get back up and be used of God, why couldn't we get back up and be used of the Lord? Know today that God still wants to speak victory through you. You have people who you haven't even met yet that need to hear the message of the gospel, that need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. You and I know have not met some of the people who need to be blessed by you. So I preach today about a failed apostle. Can you imagine all the gifts that Peter was given? I mean, he got to walk and talk and minister and eat from and serve with Jesus Christ, the incarnate God. And he, for a little while, threw it all away and denied him. Oh, I'm so thankful when Peter was denying that he knew the Lord, that the Lord wasn't denying that he knew Peter. Amen. I'm so thankful that when I'm on my bad day, God's still on his good day because he doesn't have any bad days. I'm thankful when I'm mean and ugly and unkind and manipulative and whatever else I am to the people around me. God is still long-suffering and kind and gracious and wants to use me. And don't look at me like you don't have those days, because all of us do. If you're here today saying, oh, I don't ever have one of those days, this must be your lying day then. I'm so thankful that we have a Savior that uses us in spite of our frailties. And frailties is too kind. Frailties kind of indicates, oh, it was an accident. There wasn't any accident on Peter. And all of ours haven't been accidents either. But I'm thankful that our God, our Savior, still uses us. He had been given so much, and he fell pretty far. But he didn't. As the old saying goes, he got knocked down, but he didn't get knocked out because he decided to stand up and speak up and give the message, and God brought victory through. So if you're a believer in this house this morning and you've messed up, join the club. Don't let that mess up continue on to a mess up of today. That mess up that got you down, don't let the mess up of today keep you down. Decide that you're going to live for Jesus Christ. There's something that every single one of us needs to do as we march out these doors and we go into our week tomorrow, and that is that we need to stand up for Jesus. We need to take our opportunities to be a full-fledged, some people talk about full-time Christian workers like I am. I'm blessed to work here. Or this is where I get my income and all that. But we may not all be full-time Christian workers, but can I tell you this? We all need to be full-time Christians. And sometimes we are beat down because of a mistake we made, sin we got involved in. My friend, it's time to get that behind you. And you can be like Peter, a failed apostle, but a powerful message. And maybe you're here this morning and that's you. Would you simply just give it to God? Say, Lord, I'm not much. You know how many times I've failed, as if you have to tell him. He knows. I'm not much. But Lord, would you use me? And he'll say yes. Or perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Lord. And your life has been pretty storied in an ugly way. And your life has been pretty rough. And you may be sitting there, watching there, thinking, God couldn't save me. I've cursed his name. I've denied him. I've been ugly about him. And I don't have never known him. Well, if he would forgive his child, Peter, and use him again. Please, my friend, understand, if you're unsaved, regardless of your life, if he would forgive his child and use him again after he denied him, he'll take you and save your soul. The message to everybody this morning, if you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, I don't care what you've done in the past. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done, and I don't want to know. You don't know how bad, and I don't want to know. You don't know how good our God is. I don't have to know how bad your sin was, because I know a little bit through his word about how good and how big our God is. And there's no hard case that he can't solve. If you're here today not sure that you're saved, don't buy into the lie of the devil that says, oh, you've done too much. You can't come to mercy now, for mercy now. Oh, yes, you can. And Jesus can save you. If that's your need, I challenge you to get saved today. And then if you're a Christian in this room, and there's some things in your past that have kept you bogged down, have kept you awake at night fretting and worrying because you can't believe you did that awful thing, my friend, shed that guilt. Give it to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, broken and all. Now use me as you want. And he will. Would you bow your heads together with me? Lord, thank you for the time to be in your house. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that you would let these folks, my friends, see that there was a failed apostle. But there's been a lot of failed Christians, and we're sitting in this room, I'm standing in this room. But Lord, it's still a powerful message. I pray we would set our reputation aside. I pray that we would set our agenda aside. I pray we'd set our guilt aside. I pray that we would set our pride aside. And I pray we just come to you, dear Lord. Get clean and let you do what you will with us. Lord, we'll certainly thank you for all of these things. I pray that you'd work in every heart that's here in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies begin to play something through? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Christian, are you away from Him? Are you bogged down in some sinful, wrong decisions that were made back some time ago? It's about time you put those behind you. Peter had to come to that place where he confessed, forsook, and went on and became the powerhouse for the Lord. My friend, would you do the same? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. And maybe you're like I mentioned, you say, Brother John, that's right. I've done so much. I don't even know if He could save me. Stop. Stop. He can. Don't think that. The Scripture says He can, He will. If you're willing, He'll save you, the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I pray if there's one or several that aren't saved, that they come today and be saved. And then, Lord, thank you. You've forgiven me as a believer for the times I failed and I messed up and I've kept quiet and I didn't speak up. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me, others as they ask, and Lord, then take and use us, we pray. Oh, thank you, Father. Maybe there's some other need you have. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you need to come and present yourself for baptism. We were able to baptize one in the early service today. We praise the Lord for that. Somebody following Christ in baptism, maybe you'd like to do that. Set up a time. We'll do it real soon. Maybe like to present yourself for membership. Whatever it is, they play one more verse. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I trust that the Lord has done a good work in our hearts, and I invite you back this evening at 6:30. As I mentioned already, in case if you slipped in later, we won't have that missions trip meeting. We'll have that in the future. We postponed it. We're looking on some prices. We need to get that clarified, and so we'll have that real soon. But thank you so much. And again, I invite the Oasis group, if you're 55 plus, we'd love to have you on Tuesday, 11:30. We'll have a good time together. And looking forward to a fun event. And so thank you so much. Amy and I will be praying for you this week. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind, to come and dismiss in prayer. Amy and I will be out in the lobby. If there's anything that we can do for you, please stop by and let us know. Otherwise, we're praying for you this week. Pray for us. The Lord will bless and use each of us as we go out through our different variety of events.
Father, thank you so much for the reminder this morning, Lord, of how great you are, how we started the service, and Lord, that the great God that you are, look down and Lord, you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive again. Lord, how grateful that we are for that truth. And I pray you'd help each one of us to strive forward this week to accomplish your work for our lives. And Lord, bless the afternoon. Bring us back together safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.